Our reading this morning is Psalm 16, and George is reading it to us.
Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out my libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen.
Thank you, George. Psalm 16, verses 1 and 2. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Refuge. You might take refuge under a bridge in a hailstorm or in a basement during a tornado or such like. Refuge comes from a French word meaning to flee. And in most cases, a refuge is a place to flee to in order to get away from people, places, or events that are unsafe. In the Bible, in Joshua 20, there are cities of refuge. It's quite an interesting story in Joshua 20. They were six Levitical towns in the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, in which the perpetrators of accidental manslaughter could claim the right of asylum. I'm not going into Joshua 20, but it's there, and it's an interesting read. But where do we find refuge in life? Perhaps we need refuge. Anybody go camping this summer? It's unlikely you get rained out this summer, wouldn't it? Because it was such a good summer. But we've been in this sort of situation, and you need to take refuge from the surrounding water and perhaps move into the camp reception area away from the water. What about that? Anybody been in one of those? I was talking to Phil, and I said to Phil, I was in the Merchant Navy and our ship rolled nearly 30 degrees and I thought that was as far as we could go. That was terrifying. Phil said he was in the ship going to the Antarctic. Yes, Phil? And rolled over 40 degrees. That's when you put your head out the porthole and you are in the water. Very dangerous. But I have been on ships that have taken storm or taken refuge. In the Straits of Gibraltar once, and the rudder stuck, and we went round in circles. And every ship around us took refuge in case we hit them. But these were naval ships, American naval ships, who took refuge from a Hurricane Florence, and they had to go into port to take refuge. Jan and I went round Hamburg docks, the container port. And I've told one or two people this. We had friends there and they booked us this trip, which lasted for 3 hours. And the guide was all in German. And halfway round, most of the sailors are Filipino, and they get a little short period of time to come off the ship, and there was a seaman's mission in the middle of the docks. And we went in there, and upstairs was a prayer room. And there was Christian prayers, Hindu, Muslim, little places where the people could go and pray and speak to their God. And while we were in there, I went to the toilet, as I do, and the guide came in and was next to me. And I said to him, "That was very interesting what you were talking about, but I didn't understand a word of it." And he said, "Oh, you're English." So I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, sorry, we can't speak English, but we exchange email addresses in the toilet," which is a bit unusual. And he sent me the English version of what he'd been talking about, which is very good of him. But this place is a place of refuge for those sailors in this port. They might be at sea for anything, a year, 2 years. And when they get into port, they get a little time to prayer, a place of refuge. What about these? We've all heard of refuge centres, haven't we? People where they get away from perhaps domestic abuse and that sort of thing, and there are refuge centres set up to help them. And what about these refugees? Where are they going to? Where do they seek refuge? And what about this? A crying baby. Where's he going to seek refuge? With mum or dad? It might be, if he cries too much, it's the mum and dad who want to seek refuge. But places where we might need to seek refuge. Last Sunday, Hilary started the service by using Psalm 46, which also tells us God is our refuge and strength. That's not the one. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. A couple of months ago, Jan and I, with a friend, went to the cinema, and Katrina was there as well. We didn't know it at the time. And we saw a film of Elvis's 1968 comeback tour. Bit sad, aren't we? But it was good, wasn't it? And Elvis in that sang a song, "Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go, oh, where could I go, seeking the refuge for my soul? Needing a friend to save me in the end, won't you tell me where could I go but to the Lord?" So then, what have we learned? In today's world, so many people are seeking refuge from the difficult situations of life, in relationships, poverty, illness, disease or bereavement, and others. Where do they or us go to, and who will help them and us? The good news is that we have someone who will help. We have a Redeemer. A Redeemer, one who reclaims those in distress. In Isaiah 63:16, it says, "But you are our father through Abraham, though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us. You, Lord, are our father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name." We took communion to celebrate the fact that we have a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, and yet to rise again and give us the knowledge that we have eternal life through him. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We then can have the blessed assurance that whatever life is, whenever life is difficult, we can seek refuge through prayers to Jesus, and with the knowledge that Jesus will always be there for us, redeeming, sharing, caring, and mostly a loving friend. Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And Romans, I'll leave that up because we can. Romans 15, verses 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, we have a Lord who died for us, a Lord of life, a Lord of love, a Lord of peace, and a Lord of the years. And we stand to sing, "Crown him with many crowns."